Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Let's read from 2 Corinthians, okay? Number chapter 5, verse 6, therefore. This is Paul writing, "We are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves against you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That's a lovely passage of scripture that comforts our hearts. I'm reading to you this book that was written way long time ago. It was published in 1824. But as I read about the author, I saw that he was born in July of 1595 and died in November of 1669. His name is Charles Drelincourt. He wrote this book, The Christian's Consolation Against the Fears of Death, with Seasonable Directions, How to Prepare Ourselves to Die Well. And I'm reading the one chapter here that I thought would be good for us, chapter 6, Whence Proceeds the Fears of Death. And we are up to, I think, the third fear. The first fear is we think seldom about death and meditate upon it and the frailty of our decaying nature. The second fear was it's inexorable, I-N-E-X-O-R-A-B-L-E, and that it is deaf and hath no ears. Nevertheless, we live for the most part as if we had made a covenant with death and were in agreement with the grave. And I looked up that word. It means not to be persuaded or moved by entreaty, inflexible, relentless. So that's what it is. Death is relentless. It's inflexible. It won't be persuaded not to come. The third fear of death is we lay too much stress upon second causes. We look upon death as accidental, as a thing that happens by chance, and confines our considerations to the means that produce it. Whereas we should be fully persuaded that God hath not only determined and appointed death itself, but also all the causes and means which usually attend it. Hence we are perplexed and disquieted with a thousand vain, useless anxieties, and even tempted to murmur and repine against God. We curse the darts that pierces us, instead of adoring in all humility the hand from whence it came. That's very interesting. We curse the dart that pierces us instead of adoring in all humility the hand from whence it came. In a word, whenever death comes upon us, we are ready to say to it as the devils did to our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" That's what they said to that man that was devil-possessed. "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" In other words, death, we have an appointment with death, and we have a time. And those times are in God's hand. And we should not question that time. We are too deeply, now number four. The first one, death is inexorable. I'm just going to say another word because I can't seem to pronounce that. Inflexible. That was number two. Number one was, I have to turn the page back, and says, we seldom think about it, and then it's inflexible, and then we lay too much stress upon the second cause. We look upon death as accidental. So I suppose that's what I should, when I review, use that word, accidental. Number four, we are too deeply rooted here below. We are so fastened and attached to this world that we would willingly abide here forever and cannot bear the thoughts that death will remove us. I have a friend who's, you know, my age and everything, and a lot of her friends are dying, and she's been attending a lot of funerals lately. And she says, I don't know, some people, even people that are living, they say they're just longing to go to be with heaven and with Jesus in heaven. And she says, I can't really say that. And she's a very good Christian. And I said, well, I think what happens is that God makes us ready to die. And sometimes we become so ill that we long to leave this frail body of pain. Or there's reasons he makes us willing to go. Because we are people of this earth, and we just hang on to what we know. So the fourth thing is we're too deeply rooted, and we're fast and attached to this world. Our lusts have no bounds, and we often kill ourselves in pursuing the most worthless vanities. When we draw near the end of our mortal race, and our voyage of life is almost finished, we are the most solicitous to make large provisions of worldly vanities. We build stately houses and magnificent palaces when we should think of nothing but of building our tomb and preparing our winding sheet. You know, that's what they used to do in those days, you know, wind up the body. In short, we have so strong a passion for all the things of this life that to separate us from them is to pull out our hearts and to tear in pieces our bowels. When death approaches our pillow and offers to pull us from it, we are ready to say with the sluggard mentioned in the book of Proverbs, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That's chapter 10 of Proverbs. When our heavenly bridegroom knocks at the gate, we cannot persuade ourselves to leave our repose any more than the spouse spoken of in the Canticles, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. What says the worlding? Must I ever abandon my palaces, my houses of pleasure, and my magnificent gardens? Must I leave this fine tapestry, these costly immovables, and all these just movables in, I don't know what that word is, and these rare and precious ointments with which my halls, my chambers, and my closets are enriched? Must this cruel death degrade me so soon from all my offices and honors and deprive me of the enjoyment of all these possessions and treasures? Must it snatch me in a moment from all my pleasures and delights? Must I be torn from the embraces of my beloved wife, the sight of my dear children, and the sweet society of my friends? And must I forever renounce the flattering services of my domestics? When we are in this wretched, unprepared state, it is no wonder if death seems terrible to us, and if it causes us to feel all the sharpness of its sting. But as when Absalom was hanged by the hair of the head on an oak in the forest, Joab took three darts and thrust them through his heart. 2 Samuel 8. So when our affections are too much entangled with the world and with vain expectations of earthly contentment, we are exposed in the most miserable manner to all the darts and violences of death. Something to think about. If you want a copy of this disc, this radio program, which would be on a disc, just call me, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and ask me or whoever answers for Whence Proceeds the Fears of Death. It's chapter 6 of this book, The Christian's Consolation, by Charles Drelincourt, way back, published in 1824. They translated it from the French. Perhaps it was in book form in French. So that was a lot to think about. So let's review again some of the fears of death. We seldom think about it. It's relentless, inflexible. We look upon death as accidental. And we're rooted below here so firmly that we don't think we could ever leave any of this place that we're in the world. Now, the fifth reason, another principal cause of the fear of death is a sinful life. Now, this is something to think about. We abandon ourselves to all the vice and debauchery of a desolate age. We suffer ourselves to be seduced by bad company and carried away by a torrent of pernicious customs. It is therefore no wonder if death appears terrible to us, because it comes against our armed with our own sins, and has for its harbingers the stings of our own consciences. Whence do you think proceeds that horrible dismay when seized upon King Belteshazzar, when he saw the handwriting upon the wall in his palace? We read about that in Daniel 5. It was because he had profaned the holy vessels of God's house and was rioting in the company of the lascivious women. Why did Felix tremble when he heard St. Paul's reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? Acts 24. It was because he was a wicked man, given over to all manners of uncleanness and unjust living. Thus, because we profane the members of our body, which are, as it were, the vessels of God's sanctuary, and because our lives are wicked and disorderly, we cannot endure to hear the mention of death. And when it comes upon us, we are ready to say, as Felix did to St. Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." The love of sin and the fear of death are like two sisters who hold one another by the hand, or rather they are twins that are born and die together. As the prophet Amos said to the Israelites of old, "You put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near." Amos 6:3. So we may say to the greatest part of the men of this age, "You put as far from you as possibly you can the day of death, and cause to come near unto you all manner of uncleanness, covetousness, ambitions, pride, vanity, usury, rapine, violence, envy, hatred, and such like plagues of the soul. You not only cause these abominable vices to come near unto you, but what is worse, you root them in your hearts and foster them in your bowels." Certainly we may very well apply to all vicious and profane people what the prophet Jeremiah said heretofore of the cities of Jerusalem: "Her filthiness is her skirts. She remembereth not her last end." Lamentation 1:9. My, that was a very, very picturesque thoughts there about one of the causes of not thinking about death, the sinful life. And I see I must stop. I get so wrapped up in this reading that I forget where I am. Be sure to listen next time and consider this. Prepare to meet thy God. Don't forget, there is Judgment Day coming.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?